Welcome to The Food Fix, where we talk with innovators who are figuring out how to better feed the world. I'm your host, Petulano Ali. Sorghum is a cereal grain that grows tall like corn. It originated in Africa, where it has grown for 10,000 years. Bread and porridge are the most common foods prepared from sorghum. It is a main source of energy, protein, vitamins, and minerals for millions of people. Sorghum's biggest advantage is that it resists heat and drought. It survives extreme conditions with little water. Still, it is not as popular as wheat or corn because of its complex protein structure that makes it hard to digest. That's a hard crop to crack, right? Well, maybe not for Nana Ba Pepra Amia, a doctoral student in the Department of Food Science and Human Nutrition at Michigan State University. He studies how to process sorghum to make it easier to digest. His research could improve food security by making sorghum easier to process and eat in food-scarce regions of the world. He spoke with Ali Hussein, a reporter for The Food Fix.
Nana, welcome to Food Fix.
Thank you.
Tell us about sorghum.
Sorghum belongs to the same family as wheat and corn and rice, although it's not as popular, doesn't have as much variety in terms of the type of food that is used in. It can grow in places that you wouldn't even think of growing wheat or rice. Some researchers who are attempting to open sorghum up, you know, find out why it is so resilient, why it is able to survive all these conditions, take that property and put it in the cereals that we know, you know, the wheats and the corn. While they do that, we need to find a way to make sorghum itself more useful than it already is. I consider and say sorghum is crop or the cereal for the future.
Where is it mostly produced?
Currently, the United States is the number one producer of sorghum, but it's mostly used for animal feed and non-food products. But in Africa and some parts of Asia, it is mostly produced and consumed as food for humans as well as animals. In Africa, it is the second most important in terms of tonnage or in terms of how much of it is produced, second after corn, of course.
What are the different food items and non-food items produced from sorghum?
Sorghum is not very popular for human food, but in the places that consume it for human food, it's mostly used in porridges and fermented products. There are some countries that also make beer from sorghum, and you'd have bread, you know, fermented type products. That's what it's mostly commonly used for. Since it has to compete with the more popular cereals, you don't find a variety of food like you would find with corn or with wheat.
Why is sorghum so hard to digest?
There are basically two reasons I can think of why sorghum is a little difficult to digest. First, it would be its proteins. It contains a protein called caffarin, which is its main protein. And this protein, it's so tough that it's able to resist digestion. Secondly, some sorghum varieties also contain these compounds called tannins. And although these tannins have other advantages, they have anti-nutritive properties. And what I mean by that is they reduce the ability of enzymes to break down food. These two reasons make sorghum a little difficult to digest.
Tell us about your research.
So cereals form a very important part of our food, or the food that we eat. I mean, majority of the things we eat comes from cereal. And among these cereals, you know, you can think of wheat, you can think of corn, you can think of rice. These are some of the most important cereals in the world. But I am from Africa, so I'm a little biased, you know, towards Africa, considering the fact that Africa is one of the places to look at when we talk about food security and trying to feed a lot of people. And when you look at Africa, Africa does not grow wheat on a commercial level like America or Asia, and most of it is imported. We need to find a food that can be sustained, you know, considering the climate in a place like Africa, and sorghum is one of the most viable. So I decided to look at sorghum as a viable food crop to address the issue of food security. And this is when we came to realize some of the problems that sorghum had and why it wasn't really popular as human food. And that was the issue of its processing. the types of food products that you could get out of it, and its digestibility and the type of nutrition that, you know, you get out of it. And mind you, when I talk about sorghum as a food, I would like you to imagine sorghum as a raw material where you can get different types of products, okay, and not just sorghum in a food. So when you take sorghum, okay, you can get starch, you can get a little oil, you know, you can get the gluten meal, you know, there are processes that you can do to separate these things. Now these are processes that are used, you know, to get all these products from a cereal like corn. However, with sorghum, you don't really get the same levels of these products, you know, so economically it's not very viable, and that's also one of the reasons why a little less attention has been given to sorghum. To promote sorghum as a viable food security crop, my research tries to improve all these, or at least some of these properties of sorghum, you know, how much products you can get out of it, say if modifying its proteins, you know, help make it easy to put in food products, or even improve its nutrition by improving its digestibility.
Why do you do this work? What motivates you?
I'd like to mention the work of a World Food Prize laureate, Dr. Gebisa Ejita, who I was very fortunate to meet a few weeks ago. And what Dr. Ejita does is to breed sorghum varieties that can thrive in the African climate. And he does a lot of beautiful work in Ethiopia and surrounding countries. In a way, what Dr. Gebisa is doing is kind of modeled after the work that Norman Borlaug did in the rest of the world, in the US and in Asia. You know, how he fed a billion people by improving. And as a side note, you know, before Norman Borlaug died, one of the last things he said to his children was Africa was next. He had done all this beautiful work, you know, but he never had the chance to do what he did in the rest of the world in Africa. And he really wanted to do that. So one of his final words was, you know, to take everything, you know, to Africa. And that is why the work of Dr. Gebisa and others like him is so important, by promoting cereal grains in Africa. And the grain for Africa, I would say, is sorghum. Now, the way I see my research, or I see myself fitting in, is to look at the work that people like Professor Ejita are doing and think of what next. I see sorghum production increasing in Africa even in the next few years. And then we have to now think of how best to utilize it. Can we make pizza? Can we make bread and whatnot? My research is trying to find ways of improving the way we utilize sorghum and ultimately promote its production and make sorghum Africa's primary grain.
Where do you do your field work?
My current research is less field work and more lab work. So the niche that I've carved for myself in my field is to develop processing methods, develop ways in which we can modify, process, you know, manipulate sorghum to get useful products. For my current study, it's mainly lab-based. If we're able to develop a process or some kind of product, you know, that has significant benefits for communities, then the next stage would be to take this technology to the community, and that is when I can probably call it field work.
What are the implications of your research in improving agriculture and food security in developing countries?
In the past few years, there are a few countries that have looked at different crops that they can grow, especially in developing countries, that have tried to invest in, you know, different crops that have potential for the future. Sorghum happens to be one of these crops that, you know, some countries are looking at. The way my work contributes, you know, to this effort is to find different ways, you know, of utilizing the sorghum. This ultimately promotes the production of sorghum, because if you have a use for sorghum, then it makes sense to produce more of it. But if you don't have that freedom to use it, the variety of food products, that limits its production. It doesn't encourage farmers to grow it. It doesn't encourage people to buy it. And so that's what I hope that my research will be able to do, to provide more options, you know, more ways of utilizing sorghum and promoting its production.
What are the next steps in your research?
What I'm currently doing is to focus on sorghum proteins and try to modify it. Unfortunately, I haven't gotten to that stage yet, but before we can even get to that stage and modify the proteins, you have to find a way of getting the proteins out of sorghum and then focusing on it. And that's those are the early stages of what I'm doing now, looking for effective ways of separating the protein from the whole grain, and then later looking at what I can do to make it either better or more useful. That's it. That's it in a nutshell.
Thank you very much, Nana. It was a pleasure to have you with us today.
And thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for listening. Nana Ba Pepra Amio is a doctoral student in the Department of Food Science and Human Nutrition at Michigan State University. He is also a BHERT scholar from Ghana. What do you think could be done to increase human consumption of sorghum? Email us with questions and comments at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com. The Food Fix is produced by the Translational Scholars Program at Michigan State University. Our theme music is the song Watching My Garden Grow by two of our favorite Michigan artists, Lindsay Liu and Josh Rilko. Funding for the podcast is provided by the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at Michigan State University, a development lab funded by USAID. I am Petulano Ali. Have a great day.